thank you for joining us for another powerful message from the teaching ministry of Destiny Church. We hope that you'll be challenged and stretched to grow through today's message. But most of all, we hope that you'll encounter the Father's love. If you're in the greater Mobile Bay Area, please join us for our weekend worship celebration. Or if you're looking for a church family excited for a revival, please come join us in bringing heaven to earth.
This morning, I want to talk to you out of, we've been talking about legacy, and we kind of pretty much wrapped that all up last week with Pastor Rife, and he was talking about speaking in tongues and knowing we're in a war, right? Like y'all have heard me preached on the armor of God before, so we don't need to rehash all that. If you want to get it, go online to our site. There's messages all about those different things. But I want to kind of springboard off of that into this standalone sermon. So imagine with me, if you will, for a second. There's a table. Now, I don't know how your table looks in your house, okay? In my house growing up, we had a door from Mobile Infirmary as our table. Okay? My grandfather worked there as a maintenance man. He was also a carpenter. So when they took one of the original doors out, he was like, hey, that would make an awesome table. He brought it home. He polished it. He put legs on it. So we would literally sit at this 10-foot door and eat. So that was our table. But imagine with me, Jesus is at a table, okay? And he's got on his left Lazarus. Now, if you know the story of Lazarus, pretty impressive story, right? Guy's dead. He's dead for a while. He's gotten stinky. Jesus comes and he's like, hey, roll the stone away. Lazarus comes forth. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never met anybody that's came back from the dead. I would be like, hey, Lazarus, what was that like? Like, you were dead for 3 days. Like what happened? Did you meet my aunt? Like, did you get to see her? Did you bring some cookies back? Like, what's some manna from heaven? Like, did you bring that back with you? Like, I would want to know. Like, he's probably a local celebrity, right? Like, people want to meet Lazarus. It almost makes me wonder if he got too popular and Jesus was like, Lazarus, shh, 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 it's about me, okay? You know, like, they got to focus on me. And then you got another guy at this table, okay, Simon the leper. Now, I've actually had the opportunity to go to a leper colony, and it is not where you want to be. If you've ever been around somebody with leprosy, it's disgusting. I mean, just point blank, that's what it is. It's a disease of the skin where it literally is making you rot apart. It's nasty. You smell like death. So Simon the leper has been healed by Jesus. So I imagine he's another guy that everybody's like, Simon, like, how many fingers do you have now? Like, did the other two grow back? Like, I don't know. I don't know how bad his leprosy was. Like, the Bible doesn't go into those details, right? But he was healed of it, and I believe he was fully healed of it. So if he was missing something, they grew back. So I'm imagining at this table Jesus is sitting at, like he's got some distractions to his left and his right that people are distracted by. Now, obviously, Jesus is not distracted. So follow with me, though. So we pick up this story in Mark 14, 3-9. Okay, so we're going to be talking about a subject called Built Different. Now, I am not by trade a builder, but I have built enough things because my dad is a jack of all trades that I can make my way through something. I mean, we took the deck off of our house one time, literally drug it across the yard, jacked it up on cinder blocks, put pillars underneath it, and made it our pool deck. This was not my plan at 12 years old, but guess who got to do all the grunt work? Okay? Because my dad was like, no, we don't need to build one by ourselves. We'll just take that one down there. It's 150 yards and over there by the pool. Sure, Dad, let's do that. Sounds like fun. That's how I wanted to spend my ninth grade summer, you know? No, it's not. But we pick up this story in Mark 14, 3-9. Okay, and if you can find that text, or you can, you know, power on your Bible if you're like me, that's how I do it. We find a story about someone who is at the table too, but probably wasn't even invited. You ever crashed a party? Am I the only one who's ever done that? Shown up somewhere that you weren't invited? Like, hey, I've heard there was free cookies and cake. I'm going to show up. I'm not a plus one even. Okay, maybe it was just me in my college days. No one else has ever done that. Okay, but we pick up it here. It says, meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard. Now, we can go into a deep dive of what all that different stuff is. I trust you can look that up if you care. Okay? But just know, it's expensive. It costs basically a year's worth of wages. So whatever you make in a year, just imagine she's got that in a jar of oil, of smelly oil. Okay, this ain't canola oil. This ain't coconut oil for all you vegan, gluten-free, you know, whatever. This is like the nice stuff, okay? Whatever that is, I don't know, okay? So she breaks the jar open on his head and pours the perfume all over his head. Now, I don't know if you're like me, because this is what these guys are thinking you're going to find out. Some of those at the table are indignant. Why waste such expensive perfume, they ask. That would be me. If I'm at the table, if I'm one of the disciples, I'm like, what are you doing? That's expensive. Like, we could have sold that. We could have bought a whole bunch of food. Because, I don't know if y'all know this, but the disciples, they weren't exactly getting paid to follow Jesus. They left their trades. Some of them better than others. You got the fishermen, and then you got, you know, Matthew the tax collector, who I'm sure they didn't want him to join them. Like, oh, of course Matthew wants to join. He's got a 401k plan. He's set for life. He's got a trust fund, you know. The other disciple was like, we're over here eating sardines. Matthew's packing a daggum hibachi box every day. I don't know. These are my thoughts when I read the Bible. Maybe no one else does these things. So Jesus, now I don't know if y'all know this. I love Jesus. Because Jesus just says it how it is sometimes. He is the harshest spoken person in the Bible at times. Paul gets a lot of, you know, backlash for his writings. But Jesus, if you really read into what he's saying, he can be pretty harsh. This is what he says. Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you. Hey, I don't know if y'all know this or not. We're always going to have the poor among us. Jesus said it. And he speaks the truth. You're always going to have the poor among you. But, let's see, and you can help whenever they want you to, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. Wow. We're talking about her today. For all of eternity until the Lord comes back here on this earth, we will be talking at some point about this woman if you're going to read the Bible. Yep. Like there's other acts that are not recorded in the Bible. Like it mentions them offhandedly, but they decided to write this one down. Right. So it must be important. You see, I think in order to understand this all the way, we have to know that we have to be built different. See, everyone else is invited to the table. I'm sure the 12 disciples are there, the apostles. You got Lazarus, you got Simon the leper, probably some other important people. And then here comes Mary, and she's just like, what's up, Jesus? Pouring it over his head. That's how this scene plays out. She's not invited to the table. I dare say at the time in the culture, they were probably like, woman, get back in the kitchen. Like, what are you doing out here? And she's like, no. That's the man that's important. Y'all stop asking Lazarus about getting raised. Y'all stop asking Simon about getting healed. That's the man that's important. You see, he's going to die and be raised again within a week's period from here. She knew in her spirit what was about to happen. See, I've seen a lot of people do some crazy things. Okay? Because I don't know if y'all know this or not, but my 10th grade year, I decided that, you know, hey, I wanted to make a mark for myself because my brother was a senior in high school and my sister was a junior in high school. And so I was like, hey, I'm tired of being Little Jenkins is what my nickname was in high school because I had an older brother and older sister. And I was like, I want people to know who I am. I'm not just the shadow. So I decided to do what every person does when they want to be seen. I sold drugs. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. I was like, I'm going to be popular. People are going to know who I am. I'm going to be a plug, you know. I'm going to make some money. I was doing crazy things. And because of that, now I never did drugs, okay? Bear in mind. But I had friends that I sold to that did drugs, and they did some crazy stuff when they were on drugs. And I'm like, I ain't doing that. Y'all crazy. I've seen some other people do some crazy things in churches. I went to a church one time and this girl had swords up front. And I was like, I'm going to worship in the back today. Just not feeling the Holy Spirit up there. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how the security let her in over there, but somebody needs to check her. You know? I don't know. Maybe y'all have been to one of them churches. Don't bring no swords in here next week, okay? You will be stopped by security. Okay? But we all are a little crazy in our own unique ways. We all are built a little different. Like, I'm glad that my wife is built different than me. In a lot of ways, for a lot of reasons, okay? I don't know if y'all failed that, you know, kindergarten exam, but you'll figure it out later. You'll catch up, okay? So you can find out that you're built different by failing and by succeeding. I have found out a lot of the ways that I am built just by simply knowing I can't do that. And there's a lot of things that I found out that I'm built for because I'm just naturally talented at them. Like, you give me a frisbee, I'm great at frisbee sports. You give me a soccer ball, and I'm gonna fall flat on my face. It's not me, right? And you just have to know those things. Now, could I probably get better at them if I trained? Yes, right? But I'm naturally talented at certain things. I'm naturally built and designed. Like, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but I'm naturally a super, like, heavyweight lift. No, nobody believes me in here. Like, I work out, I do CrossFit. No, I don't do all that. Like, my heaviest lifting is like my fork to my mouth at night, okay? But you have seen people that are built. You ever, like, seen somebody and you're like, that guy is jacked. Or that girl, like, like, I ain't getting in a fight with her. She'd knock your two front teeth out. Like, I've seen those kind of people. I've worked with those kind of people. Okay, some of you don't know this. I spent 10 years in a tire warehouse. Literally, this was my job description. Pick things up and put them down. 120,000 square foot, 1 million tires in a warehouse. So what do you do all day? You pick tires up and you put them back down. That was it. And we'd have guys come in, they would interview, and our boss would come in, the manager would be like, man, this guy, he's going to be a great worker. And he'd walk in the next day, and I'm telling you, he's like 6'4", you know, 210 pounds. I mean, he's just built like a monster. And within an hour and a half, he's laying flat on his back and can't keep going. And I was like, there's a difference here. Because that right there, he ain't built for this. He ain't trained for this. Because I remember a year after I was hired, the guys that I walked in with, they saw me and they said, look at this little kid, he ain't gonna last. That's what they thought about me. And I said, I ain't about to let these men, because I was a kid at the time, work circles around me. I built myself to work in that industry. So you'll find out real quick how you're built in the natural. In the spiritual, it takes a little more attuning, a little more discernment. Okay? Let me tell you a couple stories here. So I went to Southeastern University in Lakeland, Florida. Went there for a year and a half, didn't finish my degree there, finished it later online. But when I was there, I met a lot of interesting different people. And so one night, okay, college kids, you got to understand, flashback to your college days if you're not there. We do stupid things. So some of my buddies are like, hey, man, we're going longboarding in the city tonight. I'm like, awesome. That sounds great. So they had found this corner. For whatever reason, in the city of downtown Lakeland, they had these roads that just came in and L'd, and they didn't go to anything. So there was never any traffic on it. So we would get up at the top of the hill and longboard down it. You could get like 60, 65 miles an hour on a longboard if you were willing to. It's crazy. So I show up. I've never longboarded in my life. And I'm like, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be epic, right? I show up, and I'm like, hey, where's the helmet? And they're like, oh, we don't do helmets. Hi, man. That's cool. And then I see my friend Haley, who's a girl. She's like, I'm going to go. And they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. They throw her on the board. She comes screaming down this hill. They didn't tell her that there was a handbrake on their longboard so she could slow down. And she careens right into the side of this, like, railing at the end. She's screaming. She's crying. She's all bloodied up. We found out real quick she was not built for longboarding. And I was like, yeah, not doing that now. I had the wisdom at least at 19 to go, that's not for me either. You know, I'm going to go stick to, you know, something else. But then I remember another story a pastor told me one time. He said, so they're at this camp. Now, if you've ever been to a kids camp or a youth camp, there's usually some sort of challenge involved. There's teams sports, but they had a unique camp. It was like one of these like county camps where like just the high schools and middle schools from the area all came. So they already had some rivalry there. I don't know if y'all grew up in an age of rivalry. Like I went to Baker High School. We were horrible at football, so we didn't have any rivals because everybody played us for homecoming. You know? Like that was my high school. You know, baseball, different story. We usually won that, but football, I think we were almost in the Guinness Books of World Records for consecutive losses. So I'm not joking. We were that bad. But they go to this camp, and so these two schools are there that are like hardcore rivals. I mean, they're getting in each other's faces every day. So they've decided to try and keep them blockaded, not make them compete in sports against each other. But for some reason, one of the counselors scheduled their lunch waves together. So what do you think is going to happen? Of course they're going to start bickering. So they decide, this is it. We're going to solve who schools better by a single competition. This isn't orchestrated by the camp. This isn't put on by the counselors. But the kids have decided, this is how we're going to decide it. We're going to have an arm wrestling competition. You pick your biggest and baddest guy, we'll pick our biggest and baddest guy. So the one school, they get theirs, and this dude is looking ripped. The other kids go, oh, we got our guy. His name's Steroid. You heard me right, Steroid. And you know why his name was Steroid. I mean, this dude, he was a man killer. So they throw down. They're going at it. They're going back and forth. And Steroid realizes he's losing. He's like, that's it. I'm going to give it one last pump. I'm going to give it all I got. So he takes his arm and he's like, and when he does, his bone just shoots out and starts helicoptering. And all the kids are like, I'm out of here. Nobody saw me here. I didn't have a part of this. Like, he was not built for that sport. He had the looks. Let me show you how this works spiritually. You see, when the demand on the outside is bigger than what's built on the inside, it's going to break. When something in your life begins to put a demand on you and you haven't built yourself correctly, you will break. You cannot fake it till you make it. You'll break. You see, there's two different kinds of anointings. There's an outer anointing, talking about your talents, your skills, your gifts, all the qualities that you can do. Like there's certain things I can do, imagine this, without God. Oh, he gives me my breath, I get that, you know. But there's things that's not like, I need to ask God if I can get in my car and drive. I can do that. But there's other things that have inner anointing. Things that are like character, integrity, your prayer life, how disciplined you are, spiritual passion, your zeal. Like you need an anointing to carry those out. I've seen too many people, this is what happens. They get put in a position that their inner anointing can't handle, and so they fall from it. Because the Holy Spirit, believe this or not, the Holy Spirit works in such a marvelous way that he will put an appeal on you, like a sweetness on your life that people see, that they'll want to elevate you. But if your inner character, your inner anointing isn't strong enough, you will never be able to sustain that. You'll break under pressure. So you have to know, like, I've got to constantly be working on this. I've got to constantly build myself. See, you cannot survive as a Christian just from Sunday morning services. You can't even survive just on Sunday morning worship. Now, I'm going to step on some toes here. Is that okay? Everybody bring their steel toes? I got my Nikes on. I know a lot of people in the Christian circles, and this is how they do Christian life. Well, I listened to Elevation this week, and I went to church, and I heard the pastor, and I'm a good Christian. Kudos to you. You're not going to hell. But you are not advancing the kingdom. Being real, you're built on literally the foundation that someone else made. Because if all you're getting is Sunday morning message, and I'm not saying anything against preaching is wrong, but here's the thing. My preaching, when I give it to you, guess what that is? It's basically my leftovers. Imagine the Lord gives me a meal and I eat it, and then I've either got to do one of two things, either hand you my leftovers or like a mother bird try to regurgitate it to you. So if you're not getting your own revelation during the week, you're just living off of regurgitation. Not saying you shouldn't get it, because there's still some insights you may miss. You know, there's a reason we follow under a preacher or a shepherd who leads us and directs us. But there's also a time when the shepherd leads the sheep and it's like, there's the grass, eat it. I can't do anything else. I can't put the grass in your mouth and make you munch it and swallow it and digest it for you. It just doesn't work. Because what that'll make you do is resent me even more, and you'll really want to leave. More than speaking truth. You see, so many of us want to live on the spiritual highs. Youth students do this a whole bunch, okay? Because I can pick on them because I teach youth. They'll be like, we just need another youth camp, Pastor Wesley. If I just could go to another. And I'm like, why do you need another youth camp? Why do you need another convention? Why do you need another this or that? Because all you're doing is you're basically doing the Christian drug highs. You're trying to get some shots of Jesus. Because I sold drugs. I know what it looks like. From one high to another high to another high to another high. You have no spiritual consistency. So when you come off that high, you fall flat on your face. And you don't know what to do. Because you ain't built right. You're not built for spiritual consistency. Now y'all are probably like, okay, Pastor Wesley, you gave a verse. You haven't talked about it at all. Is it just me that does that sometimes in churches? You're like, they said that verse and I never even talked about it after that. So let me give you three areas, okay? Or three benefits of being built by God. Because that's the thing. You can build something yourself, or you can be built by God. I would rather be built by God. Because when I build things, they redneck engineered. Okay? Like, I'll be like, yep, still holds. We're good. You know, a piece of chewing bubble gum on there. It's all good. God's like, no, 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 no. Let me show you how to do it the right way. Okay, so the first one, we're built different. Okay, that's the name of the sermon. You're built different. When you are built by God, you're not going to look like the way the world builds. Because the world doesn't understand what we do half the time. I worked in the secular world for 15 plus years growing up, and I would have people that are like, I don't tithe to the church or give money to them pastors because I give money in taxes. So is the government your God? Or? Because Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. Forget what the taxes are. I don't like the taxes either. I don't think anybody in here likes taxes. Okay, but the Lord said, this is what I'm supposed to give. So that's what I'm going to give. And if he tells me to give above and beyond that, I'm going to give it too. See, I want to be built different. I want to stand out from the crowd. I want to be built in a way that people look at me and they recognize and say, something is different. Something on his life makes him appealing. Something on him is so wildly outside of what we normally see and what society says, that it stands apart. Now, some people don't want to be that way. I'll just be honest with you. Most of us, we don't like to be criticized. We don't like to be like the weirdo in the group. We don't want to, and I'm like, I don't care at this point. Call me a nerd because I'm a nerd. I play video games and I throw stratagems late at night on Helldivers 2.0, you know, and that's what I do when I'm not studying the Bible or preaching or doing whatever. I mean, if it talks like a duck, flies like a duck, waddles like a duck, call it a duck, right? Like, call yourself what you are. Be true to who you are. Okay, if you're a skater punk kid, go with a skater punk kid look. Like, I love Alan because his look is his look. I'm like, dude, you pull off those Vans. I can't do that. Give me some Nikes. Give me some, you know, like, hey dudes, whatever. Or hey dads is what I hear them called by the young people now, because apparently only old people wear them. I don't know. But I'm like, that's who I am. I'm not going to be fake. It's just who I am. I'm going to be built the way I'm supposed to be built, the way God wants me built. And it's going to look different. See, every single person in this house, we're going to be built the same, but we're also going to be uniquely and specially designed by God. Because if we're not, we're not the body of Christ. Because if I'm supposed to be the head, but I'm acting like a finger, it ain't going to work out very well. Okay? Paul says that we're the body of Christ. That's what we need to be, all the different parts. We've got to be built different. Let me give you an example, okay? I recently got a text from a friend from my home church, and I was like, is that me? I don't know. He was like, he sent me one of those meme GIFs, you know what I'm talking about? Like it's motion activated, and it was like Wesley putting on cologne. And it was like the young boys spraying the Axe spray because they think the girls are going to be attracted to it. And I was like, do I do that? If I do, somebody just tell me so I can know. Like, do I put on too much cologne? Because I want to smell good. Like, I may not be dressed the best, but I want to smell good. I don't want somebody to be like, he needs to take a bath. Like, that's stinky. Like, try some soap, dude. Get some Sasquatch soap, something. I don't know. Whatever you need. But, like, I want to smell good. Right? So, like, if you go to the store, you can buy, like, really cheap stuff, and you can buy the expensive stuff. Now, y'all know what the difference is? It's the way that they're made. See, one of them is designed, they smell the same. You can spray them and they'll basically say, smell the same. But the cheap one, it ain't gonna last very long. But the expensive one, it's got that holy anointing up in it. It's gonna last some time, you know what I'm saying? Because it's oil-based. It's mixed with the right things to make it have a lasting scent. The same thing has got to be true of us. We can't just be like, I'm going to spray on my water perfume of Holy Spirit, and it's going to last for Sunday, and that's it. Like, when you get up in here, get all that God's got for you. Say, God, douse me in the anointing oil. I want to leave this place that I permeate so much through the week that people are walking by and are like, is that the Holy Spirit on them? Like, I know that's probably not what they're saying in Walmart, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I want them to know something is built different on me, that somehow, miraculously, they're drawn to me. And I've had this happen. That people are like, hey, I don't know what do you do? Like, that's a rigged question for a pastor. Because I'll tell people all the time, I'm like, I just have different titles depending on the day or hour you ask me. Like, I'm culinary specialist, I'm maintenance man, I'm head toilet scrubber. You know, like, you pick something and I'll do it. Because I love to serve, too. But there's something about a perfume that lasts that is just so different than a cheap, fake knockoff. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. Because here's the thing. Everything the devil will ever try to build is a cheap imitation of what God has. You can operate in the spheres of the secular in the world, which is really the enemy, and it'll give you a cheap knockoff for a little while. But you want something that's going to last, you need to be in the Holy Spirit. See, when you finally give everything up for Jesus, you don't really even have to do the speaking. He'll speak on your behalf. You see, I look at Peter in the Bible. Peter is one of those guys that I'm like, I kind of wish I was more bold like Peter, but I also don't want to get in trouble like Peter. You know what I'm saying? You ever been like, man, I wish I was that bold. And then I read about the other stuff that he did, and I'm like, yeah, never mind. I don't want to be the guy that raises his hand first, and Jesus is like, get behind me, Satan. You know, like if Jesus talks that way about you, it's not a good day. Okay? But I want to have that boldness. I want Jesus, and I want God to speak on my behalf. And I've had that encounter when the Holy Spirit gives you courage. You ever like done something in the Spirit and you're like, well, that wasn't me. Ain't nobody but God that could have done that because I ain't got that kind of courage. I ain't got that kind of knowledge. I don't have that, what, fill in the blank. But there's so many times that I'm like, that was way beyond my wisdom. Because if you'd asked me, I'd have answered you at a third grade level. But we've got to be built that way, built different so that people see the difference in us. The second thing, a benefit of being built by God. We're built devoted or built to last. Like, I want somebody devoted to me that when I walk out of the room, if somebody tries to badmouth me, they're going to be like, hey, zip that lip. Don't be talking about him. You know what I'm saying? Like, stand up for me. Like, my wife better stand up for me because I'm for sure going to stand up for her. You say something bad about my wife, that's between me and her. I'll deal with you right now. Come on. No, I'm just kidding. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want people that are devoted. And if you're devoted to God, that's the way you should be. When someone tries to tear down the kingdom of heaven or tear down God, we should be built in a way that we're devoted to him. Like, hey, not trying to pick a fight. Okay? I am not for that. I don't need more arguments in my life. But I will stand up for what I believe. And if you bring it to my forefront, I'm going to tell you that, hey, that ain't how this flies. That's what we need to be. And it's in love. Okay? We speak the truth. We speak it in love. But we speak love all the time. So that when we do speak the truth in love, people are more apt to receive it. I want to be built to last. Devoted in a way that I know it's going to last. Now, maybe y'all have a friend like this. See, I have a friend. He's a pastor. We'll leave him nameless so, you know, we can't cover any, you know, in case someone in here knows him. But I have a friend, and he's one of those I call, like, they're just barely saved. You're questioning their salvation sometimes. You're like, I know you're saved, but some of the things you do sometimes. You ever have one of those friends? Maybe it's just me. So I have a friend that's like that. And we're getting ready to go on a hunting trip. We live in South Alabama. We like to hunt, okay? If you don't like guns, you don't like hunting. Just tune yours off for a second. But we're getting ready to hunt. So we're like, hey, we're going on a weekend hunt. We're going to get some provisions. So we stop at the best place ever to get provisions for hunting, the Piggly Wiggly store, okay? Because you got to stock up. So we're getting, you know, like pork. We're getting some steak. We're getting some chicken. Like, we ain't going here for girls' meeting. We're not getting some cucumber and melon sandwiches. Like, we're going to be men. We go, ooh, we're going to rough it. We're going to eat beef jerky. You know, we're going to go in the woods, paint ourselves, not bathe for 3 days. Like, those kind of things. We'll figure it all out later. But that's what we're going to do. So we're in the store, and I'm getting up front. I'm ready to check out. Like, we got all the groceries. My friend is back here, and he's like, hey, Wesley, we need some sunflower seeds too, right? I'm like, for sure, man, we need some sunflower seeds. And then I get ding on my phone. So I look down, I'm answering my phone, and I hear, phew. This joker has taken the big sack, not the little bag, the big sack of sunflower seeds. And I guess he thought I was looking, and he just chunks it like over like five people. And it comes flying by my head and hits this lady in front of me, like right in the, right there. I look up and I'm like, And I don't know if y'all ever watched Rocco's Modern Life because that was from my childhood, but all I heard was, how dare you? And I'm like, I mean, this lady looked like Medea, okay? I'm just going to say it. And I'm like, and next thing I know, I see my friend and he's like, out the door. He's not devoted. He did the act and he didn't want to pay the fine. So now I'm left to deal with the cleanup. Like, I don't want to be devoted to God that way. If God tells me to do something, I'm going to stand up till the very end. If he's like, hey, go do this. Yes, sir. Well, that's not where I want to be. And there's some people that want to criticize this. Well, guess what? I can't just turn cheek and run the other way. I got to be devoted. I got to be built to last no matter what the repercussions are. And some people are good till that point. They're like, yeah, I got you, God. All the blessings, all the things. And he's like, great. And here's the other bad stuff that's going to come with it. Because if I was persecuted, you'll be persecuted. We're good with the good stuff. Like, we want to read all the blessings of the Lord. And if you'll do this, this will happen to you. And if you'll do this, you'll be persecuted, crucified, killed, yada, yada. And whoa, Jesus. I didn't sign up for all that. Like, I live in Western society. I live in the United States. I want to be blessed. I really need that $60,000 boat. Don't ask me to give my money away. Don't ask me to take my alabaster jar worth a year's wages and break it. Yeah, y'all thought we was getting away from that verse and we ain't going to come back to it. We'll come sneak it back in. You see, too many of us get caught up in the fact that we just want to be built for little seasons. Like, we want to treat Jesus like the faucet. Jesus on, Jesus off. Jesus on, Jesus off. Ooh, I need a little warmer water. Jesus warmer. Okay, too hot. Getting too zealous. Ooh, I don't know if I can operate in that. Let me just set it right where I'm comfortable. Jesus is like, no, take your hands off the settings. You just stand in the water and let the anointing flow. Whatever temperature I decide to set it at. See, devotion is tested out, not today. See, because you can all amen and yes. That's, you know, all those different things. But it's not tested out here in this room. because I hope everyone in here believes this. Where it's tested out is when we go out of here. It's tested out when my boss undercuts me, when my coworker talks behind my back. It's tested out in the places where my marriage, things aren't going so well, when he or she wakes up on the wrong side of bed and it ain't 50-50 that day, it's 90-10. No one ever said marriage was 50-50. I hate to tell you, whoever invented that lie, they need to go right on with Satan, okay? Because marriage is a work. It's a lifetime work, and it ain't fun all the time. Sometimes it's like, would you please, please just not leave a cup of milk out anymore? Maybe that's too close to home for me, okay? You know? And then you add kids to the mix. Oh, Lord, I need some extra grace for that, okay? Because I got to train them up, you know? And then the last thing, we're built dangerous. See, I like to be a little dangerous. My standard protocol for me is passive aggressive. But in that is some danger. Because I'll take some little sleight of hand jabs. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't going to come at you directly. I'm trying to stab you like where you don't see it. Put a couple puncture wounds in you and let you bleed out. Like, that's my natural tendency. I'm just being honest. Like, I know who I am. I've taken the Enneagram test or all those other little things, you know, they tell you to take. But that's who I am. But I like to live in a dangerous situation. I'm not into drama, okay? But I do like to live where I feel like there's an adventure to live. I don't like dull, mundane, okay? Once again, I'll give y'all some nerd, okay? Don't ask me to play Animal Crossing. Kids might know who that is. You literally just stand around with little animal characters and you build a little farm. I'm like, there is no point in this game. I don't understand it. There is no adventure. Like, give me something to do. I need something. Maybe that's just the man in me. I'm not sure. But many people, they don't want to live dangerously for Christ. They want to get saved and they want to stay comfortable or they want to live blessed. That's all they want to do. They don't want to live in the places of fringe danger. They don't want to go to the places. Because here's the thing. If you get in with Christ and you start praying dangerous prayers, and they ain't even got to be like super crazy or loud. You can just be like, God, I surrender everything to you. And he's like, oh, really? Everything. You'll do whatever I say. You know? It's like playing truth or dare. God's like, tell me the truth. Okay, now here's the dare. Go out there and witness to that person. Yeah, the psychic reader down the road. Go talk to them. Well, God, you know, they're practicing witchcraft. I don't know if I've got the... No, go do it. Now, don't go do that if you're not called of God to go do it. Okay? The Spirit's got to be there with you. But we don't want to be dangerous just for the sake of being dangerous. Okay, so I had a friend in college, okay? I know, Zach, you're black belt, whatever, fourth degree, fifth degree. I forget what my friend was. I think he was like seventh degree black belt. And we used to like learn tips and tricks from him. We'd spar in their bedrooms and stuff. And so one day, this kid, he had just gotten like his first degree black belt. He lived a couple dorm rooms down. He thought he was all big and bad. He's like talking smack to my roommate. He's like, oh, I can take you. I just learned whatever. And he's like, all right. Bear in mind, I had sparred with my friend probably 30 plus times. I did not realize until that point that he was holding back. And you're about to find out why. So this kid's talking smack. He says, okay, let's go. Let's bring it. So they start going at it. Within about 4 moves, the next thing I know, we're taking that other kid to the ER. Now, it was by accident. He meant to kick him in the rib cage. But he kicked him somewhere else where the good Lord split him. And down he went. And to the ER we went. And for the next 3 months, that guy wore a diaper. So fun times. He was built dangerous, but he didn't last very long. You see, we have to be dangerous, but not just for the fact of being dangerous. I don't walk around all the time just wielding the sword of the Spirit. Let me see what I can fight today, you know. That's not how a Christian works. I think there's a reason it's called the armor of God. Right? I'm here to deflect, protect, and when necessary, go to the offense. Because I ain't about to lose no ground to the enemy. And I'm going to for sure take it when the Lord tells me to. I'm built in a way that's dangerous. So you are, if you're trained in something, whether it's the military, karate, kung fu, whatever it is, they'll tell you all the time, like, your job is not to go seek out to find people. Right? You're dangerous. You're a weapon. But you're trained with a restraint to know that you don't use this unless you need to. So when I say we're built dangerous, I'm not saying we're going out of here like putting water pistols in our hands ready to charge the gates of hell. Okay? I'm not telling you to go do that. What I'm telling you is you need to be built in such a way that when things happen, you're prepared for them. That you can be a weapon of dangerous havoc to the enemy. Because you're built in such a different way that the enemy is afraid of you. Because here's the thing. A lot of people be like, oh, the enemy's been attacking me. It's been attacking me. He's been attacking me. Satan's attacking me. I don't even know if me, Pastor Rife, okay, if any of us in this room, probably anyone in Baldwin County that Satan himself is personally attacking. We're just not a big enough threat. He's just sending other minions after us. Because I hate to tell you, there's only one person who is omnipresent, and that's God. Satan cannot be everywhere all the time. He is limited and confined to a single spatial place at one time. And I don't know about you, but that's really got to tick the devil off knowing that God is everywhere all the time. You're like, I can't get away from you. Everywhere I go, you're there. You know? And you're all powerful. I can't do anything. So I've got to attack the people I think that I can. That's why the scripture says he's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He can only devour you if you let him. You've got to be built dangerous so the enemy is afraid of you. Now, this comes with a warning label. I don't know if you've ever had something and it's like, you read the warning label. Some warning labels, I don't know why we have them. It's like, careful, your coffee's hot. Put a helmet on. Goodness gracious. But somebody out there made the mistake, right? So now they had to make a warning label for it, okay? Dressing in the armor of God and being built dangerous comes with a warning label because now you're a threat to the enemy and he wants to take you down. So know that if you're going to be built dangerous, he's going to try to attack you. Just like last week we talked about, you're in a war. If you're going to be built dangerous, you're going to be in a war sometimes. If you don't expect that, then you're just plain not smart, to put it nicely. Okay? We don't prepare soldiers for warfare just to say, okay, now sit on your hands. We continually run them through drills, keep them prepared. Okay? By paying attention to all the different things that are around them. So here's another key element. Pay attention to what is breaking in your life. Okay, the Spirit will move sometimes and he'll break things off of you. And if you're not careful, you're just going, oh yes, Lord, thank you for that breaking. Thank you for that anointing that broke that chain of whatever. Instead of going, thank you, Lord, for breaking that off of me. But what is that bringing? Too many of us stop short at the breaking point instead of going, okay, that means something. There's something that's to come from that. That's why the scripture says that when you get rid of a demon, if you're not careful, what happens? It brings back more, right? So what is it that God's bringing in your life to take the place of whatever's being broken off? Because he's breaking it for a reason to say, okay, now that's been taken care of. I did my part, okay, because only the Lord can break those things off. But there's a thing that we have to do to build up what is necessary in that place. Because there's been a lot of times in my life I'm in a spiritual place and I'm like, I'm hitting a wall and I'm hitting a wall and I'm hitting a wall and I'm like, Lord, what is going on? He's like, you are not ready yet for me to break that off your life. Because when I do, the enemy is going to see that you're free from it and he's going to try and attack you over here. So if I free you from that, you've got to be prepared to wage war on another front. And some of us aren't spiritually mature enough to realize that God has a better strategy than we do. We just want to be like, Lord, if you just set me free of everything. Does he want to? Absolutely. His will is that we all be free. We all get saved. We all go to heaven. We all be spiritually enhanced to the point that we are mature. But he's like, you realize I'm still dealing with you in the step that you are in. Some of us are still little babies. Some of us are little preteens. Some of us are adults who still are holding on to some baby tendencies. You know, I know full-grown men that they won't eat vegetables. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? Why do you only eat chicken tenders and mac and cheese? You're 34 years old. Grow up. Right? Like, eat something else. But this is the only part of the Bible I like. I don't want to read those verses I don't like. You have to be built on the full word of God. The full message to be dangerous. Let me give you another verse. Found in Matthew. Some of you will recognize this. Forgive me if I don't have the reference down. But I have it in my notes here. It says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does not take them like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And when the rains fell, like we got going on right now, the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. This is a common verse. We all pretty much know this. Like, you've got to build your house on the rock if it's going to last. But then he talks about a second house. He says, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them is like a fool who builds his house on the sand. And the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, most of us are smart enough to figure this out. Build on the rock, build on the sand. What's the difference? Better foundation, right? It's solid. But here's the problem. Do you know what the difference between sand and rock is? Because sand is rock. It's just a lot smaller. It's fine little grains. When you take the word of God and you want to break it down into minuscule little pieces that you like, you're building it on sand. Instead of saying, God, this is what I can handle right now, and he's going to say, okay, here's some grains of sand. Now here's a pebble for that area because you can handle that. Here's a rock for this area. And hold on, you're really mature in this. Here's a boulder. Build something on that. And then later on, he'll say, you know that sand part you weren't very good at? Here's a rock for that now. You build the progression for a foundation so that you can become the thing that God wants you to be. It doesn't happen overnight. There are no shortcuts in the kingdom of heaven. Let me make you understand this, because I firmly believe God can do more in 60 seconds than we can do in 60 years. He can set you free in an instant. But he will not build something in an instant. He will not build something in you in an instant. He will require you to go through the steps. How do I know this is true? The word of God says that the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Steps. I take a step. I took a step. You see, babies don't just stand up when they're 1 month old and run around the house and do acrobatic twirls and get on the jungle gym bars. We teach them, right? Okay, now come here, little buddy. And let's do this. And you put their little feet on top of your feet and you like try to show them how to do it. That's what God has to do for us. He's like, let me show you how to mature. Let me show you how to be built in a way that's gonna last. Because if you don't go through the steps, you'll think you did it on your own. You'll be at a place where you think that, well, I did that by myself, so I don't need to rely on God. And that's a dangerous place to be. So how do we apply this? How do you apply the benefits of being built on God? The first thing, start taking small steps to become spiritually built. Miss Melissa, you can come on up and play. What does that look like? Taking just those small steps. I tell youth students all the time, I'm like, do not, please do not hear me wrong in this. Do I wish all of you could pray for extended amounts of times? Absolutely. Do I wish that all of you could read the Bible and get what's in it in a mature way? Absolutely. But some of you do not have that level. Go find a book of the Bible that you understand and something that you can start to glean from and start to grow in that. Like, I used to do this when I was younger. I'd be like, man, I'm going to read the Bible, and I'm going to do it in a year, and I'm going to start in Genesis, and I'm going to read it all the way through. And I'd be like, Genesis, yes, got it. Exodus, got it. Leviticus, yes. Deuteronomy. And I'd usually get to about Deuteronomy, and if I was doing really good, I'd get to Chronicles, And then I'd start reading all those chronicle things that put you to sleep at night, and you're like, such and such was the son of such and such. Who was the son of such and such? Who was? And I'm like, Lord, why is this in here? I'm not getting anything out of it. Don't do that as a baby Christian. Is that stuff good? Absolutely. Is it good for a young Christian? I don't think so. Because you're just like, this is lost on me. Here's what I tell young people to do. Find that book. Find whatever it is. I usually say one of the Gospels. John is a really good one. Don't make a reading plan. Read until the Holy Spirit speaks to you and stop. That might be the first verse. That might be three chapters. But read until you're like, something jumps off the page. And you're like, this is something. And then pray about it. Meditate on it. And you may need it the next day. You might need it 3 months down the road. But because you meditated on it, and you prayed on it, and you got the revelation from it, you know how to use it now. You were built in it. You weren't just like, hey, I read the Bible. I did my checklist. If I needed a checklist to read the Bible, I can read the Bible in 30 days. I've done it before. But it didn't do me much good. I'm going to tell you right now. I didn't get a lot from it. I was just reading it for speed reading. I'm like, I'm going to read the Bible in 30 days. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need that. I need the living, breathing Word of God to be built in my life so that I can flourish as a Christian. And I had to do that in small little steps. There's still stuff that I'm learning as I read the Word. That's the amazing thing about God, is He constantly is revealing what's the next thing, what's the next thing, what's the next thing, what's the next thing, the next brick in my foundation, in my building, in my life, in whatever that I'm going to need. There's lessons that I've even learned. Now check this, because this seems unfair to me. Got to be like, I'm going to teach you this lesson. I'm like, all right, great, God, teach me. And He teaches me, and I'm like, what did that have to do with me? He's like, nothing. But you'll need it for somebody else. Sometimes you gotta learn things so you can help others. That's a part of being a part of the body of Christ, being built together. I don't like that, because here's my number one pet peeve with God. You ever had a pet peeve with someone? God will make me mad. I'll be like, God, I've been praying for this. And then I prayed for Susie Q and she got it. That's not fair. I've been praying for 6 years for that. He's like, so, get over it. I'm the father. I'll tell you who gets the prize and who doesn't. I do that with my kids. They're like, why do I have to do that? Because I said so. I'm the parent. I'm the daddy. I get to tell you what happens and what doesn't happen. Just believe that I'm just and fair and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. The second thing, quit the stinking excuses and see what God will do. Okay? Pardon my inappropriate language here for a minute, but there's a phrase that I was raised on. Excuses are like the rear end of somebody. Everybody's got one. Some just stink more than others. You can come up with an excuse if you want to. If you really want an excuse, you can fabricate an excuse. There are enough excuses to go down in the book of histories forever if we wanted to write excuses. Well, I can't do that because of this. I can't. Well, God, well, you know, Lord, that I was born... You know how many people I know that were born or have this or diagnosed and they're like, forget that. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what this, I'm going to try and do it anyways. Now, okay, everything comes with a warning label, okay? Don't do something that's just irresponsible, okay? I fully believe in doctors and hospitals and medical and all that different stuff, right? But there is a level if like God says to do something that's outside of human knowledge, you listen to God first. Right? But we got to quit with the excuses. Because I can make excuses. My wife was like, I want to buy this. I'm like, nope. I got an excuse for that. Hold on. 1 second. Looking at the budget. Nope. You spent $20 at Oats Overnight. We ain't getting that. You know, whatever it may be. Like, I can come up with an excuse for everything under the sun. Like, I am two things that I know for sure. And they are my vices, and I work on them every day, but I know that they are still what I try to almost fall back on in my flesh, okay? And that is this, I am a professional procrastinator, okay? What do I mean by that? When I was in school, they'd be like, hey, there's a 26-page paper that's due at the end of this semester. I'd be like, check, I'm gonna do that 3 days before it's due. And my classmates would be like, I don't understand how you made an A on it. I'm like, I don't either, but I know I'm professionally procrastinating on it. but it's because I always succeeded when I procrastinated still. Remember, I had a speech class, and I forgot completely that we had a speech that day, and I came into class, and everybody else was like, so what did you write for your speech? And I'm like, one second. You know, I'm writing my speech, and I gave my speech, and my teacher's like, that was one of the best speeches I've ever heard. How long did it take you to make that? And I was like, do I lie here at a Christian Bible college? Because I wanted the A, right? Like, because I'm academic driven. And I told him the truth, and he was like, I don't know how you did that. But it's a vice, too, because sometimes I will put things off so long that I've got 18 procrastinated tasks, and I know that I can't get them all done. I've made an excuse. I've kicked the can so far down the road that it's turned into a 5-gallon bucket. And I'm like, oh, dear Lord, please help me. And he's like, you created this mess. You get yourself out of it. Like, quit the excuses. I'll have students, they'll tell me this. Well, I'm really, will you pray for me that God will help me get a better grade? I'm like, well, did you study? Well, no. I said, well, then I can't pray for you. Now, if you'll study, I'll pray that God brings to remembrance what you studied. But if you ain't going to put in any of the work, the Lord ain't going to bless it. You got to do something for God to work with it. I mean, you look at the Bible. The man of God, the prophet, is like, what do you have in the house? The woman's like, I don't have anything. Well, except this little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. He's like, I can work with that. You got something. All you got to do is have just a little bit. That's why the scripture says, if you'll just take the faith of a mustard seed, he'll make it grow. We don't have to have it all. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to know exactly what you're going to do. But you do have to say, God, this is what I have. Please, please help me build it. If you'll do that, God will build it. He'll bless it. He'll speak on your behalf. He'll build you out in such a way that you're built differently. So here's what I want to do as we close. Two things. We don't do this often, but I felt in my spirit. I want to make sure we give an opportunity today. If you're looking at me and you're like, all right, Pastor Wesley, I've heard what you said, but I don't know about this whole Christianity thing. I've never really accepted him. I want to give you an opportunity today. No one in this building can leave here and say, I was never given an opportunity to accept Christ into my life, to start the foundation of my building of Christianity. So today, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, if you're just saying, you know what, I want to finally, or I want to for the first time, give my life to Christ. You're saying, Lord, I recognize you as the one that I need to build my life on. If that's you, raise your hand. See that? Okay. Here's what I want y'all to do. Every single person in this building, just repeat after me. Lord, I recognize you as my Savior. I give you my life. And I ask that you would be the forefront. That today I surrender and give my life a purpose to be built by you. I thank you for it. Amen. The second part of this, okay, because we all can use some help. We all need to be challenged and spurred on and built in different ways. You see, when Mary comes into the room, she takes that jar and she breaks it, but she does it. There's two things I want y'all to pay attention to this in this verse. She breaks it in a very specific place on Jesus and the place that she's at. She doesn't pour it on his feet. She doesn't pour it on his hands. She breaks it on the crown of his head and lets it flow down. See, from that moment, Mary was recognizing, Jesus, you are king. On your crown, I'm breaking this expensive oil, recognizing all that I am is surrendered to you. See, when she did that, there was no plan B. See, when I got called into the ministry, I argued with God for over 4 hours. I was like, God, no, you don't understand. I'm really good at this. I can make a lot of money and I'll give it to the church. God, I can do this. And God was like, nope. I'm like, I don't want to be a pastor. That's no fun. I don't want to deal with a bunch of sheep that bite you and get confused and you have to lead them around and they don't know what you're talking about. And You see, when God calls you to something, you're supposed to do it. I tried to give every excuse under the sun not to be filling my calling that God was calling me to. But when she did that, she's recognizing who he is. And the second thing she did, I told y'all this was about 6 days before Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. She took the very atmosphere that was around them. Because you see, they're in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. He's just recently healed of this. His house smells like death. It still smells like leprosy. You ever been in somebody's house and you're like, whew, you walk in and it's like, there's a smell in there. And it can be a good smell or it can be a bad smell. Like me and my wife all the time, people come over, we'll be like, hey, it doesn't smell like dog in here, right? Because we have a dog. And she'll have every Scentsy and every candle and every whatever on in the house because we want it to smell good. See, when Mary broke that, she changed the very atmosphere of the smell from a thing of death to a thing of holy anointing and life. I promise you that if that stuff was so expensive when she broke it over Jesus, I can almost guarantee you when they were stringing him up, when they were whipping him, they were like, why does this guy smell? Like, it's been days, but the anointing oil was so expensive, so potent, that it just permeated on him. That she was literally preparing him in an anointing for what he was about to do, which was literally to pay for every single one of our sins, to offer us salvation. And if she can do that act, then I can abandon every other plan B that I had to fulfill a calling for Christ. I'll give things to God all the time, and I'm like, God, you told me to do it. I don't understand why. There's been times I've literally taken things that I'm like, no, I earned this, God. And God's like, it's not yours. What are you thinking? I own it all. And I'm like a little sad puppy child sitting in the corner that has to realize that he's wrong and give it up. I like to say that I cheerfully give it all the time, but sometimes I'm just like, I know this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm not happy about it, but I'm going to do it because God said to. So when we quit the excuses, we get built in a different way. So the second part of that is, what is your life look like? What's an area you know that's not built the way it's supposed to be? Examine yourself. Because there's all certain, there's every single one of us in here, I believe, has something that needs to be built better in Christ. I mean, if we really take an honest examination and say, okay, Lord, search me out. What is it that I can do? What is it that I can do? And I'm not, I was going to say something there and the Holy Spirit corrected me. There's freedom in this house from whatever that is. But like I told you, whatever he breaks off of you, you need to be prepared for whatever he's bringing next. So if you're willing to have it broken off, he'll do it. But he says, if I break it, you need to be prepared for what I'm bringing. You have to be willing to put in some work to do it. So today, I just want to pray for 45 seconds and I'm going to let you go. With every head bowed, and I want just some hands in the sky as just to surrender. Lord, we ask right now, whatever it is that's on our lives that's holding us back, God, anything that's been mixed into our lives that doesn't belong there, whether we knew it, whether we were consciously aware of it, that you would remove it. You would break chains, you would give freedom, you would get deliverance, that you would remove all the things that are not of you, God, if we are willing to give them up. God, and I ask right now that you give insight into what is to come, that you are bringing fresh things, God. God, I see in my mind right now a picture of almost like concrete being poured, that it has to be just right, that you are the one who's firming up all of that in the right process. I don't know how all that works, but Lord, you know. So I ask right now that as you bring those things, that you bring the reinforcement, you bring the sturdiness, you bring whatever needs to be built in every single individual's life in here or watching online, that's saying, God, I surrender to you. God, build my life.